for this evening, Lord. We're grateful for this night, Lord, for this place, for the breath of life, Lord. And Father, just as we come together, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would be with us in this time. Lord, that your Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would instruct, Father, and teach us, Lord. Lord, we leave every care, every concern, Lord, every burden, every thought, Lord, that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we leave it all at your feet. And Lord, we accept and we receive from you your mind, your heart, your thinking, Lord, your will and your way. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just commit all things into your care. Father, we just bind and cast out every work of the devil, Father. And Lord, we proclaim the free flow of your Spirit in and through us as we yield by our free will to yours, Father. So Lord, we pray, have your way as we go forward, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let all things that are done, said, thought, and everything that takes place be according to your plan, purpose, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Cool. Thank you for the water. Okay. Right. So we've been in this series where we've been starting, well, we started off in Daniel, and the series has been Kingdom Living, so this would be part four. Now, when we started off with this series, one of the reasons that we began this was because for us, as children of God, children of light in the world, we live a different way. We think a different way. We respond to life here in the world a different way. So part of the series was to touch on some of those aspects. Now, ultimately, it's an individual walk. It's an individual calling. So for the ultimate reality that I will live out in this life and in this world will be according to God's plan and purpose for who He's made me to be. Likewise for you, for whatever it is that He has you to live out in this world, it will be according to God's plan and purpose for who He made you to be. So for each person, it's unique, it's different, but there's some characteristics that go along for all of God's body, for every one of God's children. So it's kind of touching on what some of those shared characteristics are, but then allowing that for each person to be part of your unique experience while you're here in the world. So, you know, there's characteristics for every person that will walk this life with Christ. They'll have certain seasons, I guess, where different things will take place. I think Sunday service, one thing we talked about was how, you know, like every person, if you will follow Christ, like Jesus said, you're on your way to die. I mean, you're basically just, you're a walking person that's died in Him. So it's like that's a unique characteristic of a kingdom person. And you'll have that breaking, you'll have that point of basically intersecting who you are apart from Him and who He is, and you die to self, and then you're alive in Him, and the new life that you now live is all about Him. Not, you know, all the ideas that you had before, the thoughts that you had before, the personal ambitions, or all those things, they die. You know, it's actually very interesting when you meet somebody who calls himself a Christian, but they're still very much about the world and who they are, and everything that they are is locked into the world. It's very interesting when you meet somebody like that, because they call themselves by the name, but they're not walking with Him. That's not who they are. And so basically to them, what it is to be a Christian is just another form of conformity. It's another form of social conformity. It's just another political party, another religious organization, but they still miss Christ. Now, the difference is Christ is a way. He is ultimately the spiritual path of life. And anyone that will come to the Father comes when they find out truly what it is, it's through Him. And He's the one that opens that gate, opens that way, just like in John chapter 10, when He talked about that. now, bless you. Okay, so now we started this thing with Daniel, and we began with him, you know, in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 4. Chapter 2 verse 1 through 45 and then chapter 4 verse 31 through 37. And basically we discussed how God set up and established his kingdom. And see, whenever the Spirit of God speaks something, it's already done. That's like it already has happened in an eternal reality, even if you're still living that thing out. So for example, when you read stuff in the Bible, when you read prophecies that Jesus said, you know, that God said would come to pass, that came to pass with Christ, it was already done. God already knew the beginning from the end. It's already happened. Everything's already sealed up with him, period. So it's not a so even when, like, God is describing to Nebuchadnezzar in the dream and showing him the things that would come to pass, and Daniel makes it known and makes it plain, the fact of the matter is, and it's just a pure fact, that the kingdom of God has, in an eternal sense, already done what it is that we are living through and living in the middle of right now, which is all of these kingdoms get destroyed, turned into chaff, blown away, there's nothing left, you can't even remember them when they're done. But now we're in the middle of this whole crushing process. So even like globally right now, some things that are taking place is you see the economic collapse, which has taken place globally. But that's the first of the beginning pulverization process. You know, there's there's more and more and more and more to come. So in the middle of that too, you have the kingdom of God that grows and fills the whole earth. Now, again, something that I talked about on Sunday was how it's a model of the individual life as well as something external. And actually, if you can master that which is within, because the kingdom of God is within, like Luke chapter 17 talks about, 17, 20, 21, how the kingdom of God is within you, that's the most important. Because if that which is within is mastered, the external circumstances don't matter. Because you can be in any type of external circumstance, but if you have the mastery that's provided by the Spirit of God, when he brings peace within, and you walk in that peace and that completion that he gives, if you can have that now, and if you can walk in that now, it doesn't matter what the external circumstance is. If you check out tomorrow, doesn't matter, because you just go on into the next thing that God has for you. You just, your hotel stay is finished in this tourist visit, and you move on to the next life. So we started talking about some keys that are part of the aspect of living as a kingdom person, but it's important to remember that you're transiting here. See, people that are worlders, people that are hooked into the system of the world, and it's absolute insanity, but they live their life like they're staying here. So this desire to accumulate, this desire to own and to crush and to take and to do all of these things, they live their lives in a certain way where if they could really just have a moment of sanity as such, they would realize the absolute futility, especially if you're going to die. I mean, big names of people throughout history, they're all gone. You know, all of them. I mean, you take steel and oil tycoons of the past, people like Alexander the Great, Napoleon, generals, they're all dead, every one of them. And likewise, appointed unto every man is a time to die, and after that, the judgment. So we all transit through here. So a big part of life in this world is basically just getting ready to die if you're walking on this the right way. And if you're a kingdom person, you can actually have crossed over now from death to life, so that the remainder of your time while you're in the world is a kingdom life, is an eternal life now, not an eternal life waiting to happen when you stop breathing, but an eternal life right now, when you tap into the eternal reality that God intends for us to be living, period. So you can, in that, you can walk in power. In that, you can walk in victory. In that, you can walk in the, in who you are from that dimension and not who you were as part of the world. Does that make sense? So, it's something that, see, this is again when Jesus is the way, something that he leads us into. Because when you first hear his voice, you then have to start walking in the direction that he's going. So when he says, okay, I'm going this way, you then, if you choose to follow him, you have to follow the leading of his voice, and he'll take you somewhere. You may at times stay in a specific location, but he's leading you in a spiritual path, a spiritual progression. A lot of times he'll move you physically. You know, he'll separate you from your physical surrounding, from your natural surrounding, all those things. He'll move you into something completely different. And in that process as well, that's part of it too, because then he changes even your external circumstance and situation so that you are, I won't say forced to go with him, but you are inclined to go with him. Because, so if you have, for example, a new natural circumstance, a new natural situation, and you put into that, in the middle of that, now you have an inclination to pray, to seek him, because you're outside of your familiar surroundings. You're in something you don't know, you don't understand, and then you start going within, and then you start seeking him, seeking his voice, seeking his direction, and so it becomes this this pursuit in that next place, and then something else will change, and something else will change, and in that whole process, he's getting you to a place of intimacy, connection, all the while taking you to a spot where you are ready to embrace the crucifixion of yourself in Christ Jesus. The whole thing with the cross was that along with it being the price that needed to be paid for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world, along with it being that, because we're in him, when we embrace Christ Jesus, we embrace who we are as it relates to the cross as well. So we literally die in the cross with him. And then the resurrection life that we have, the whole thing about baptism is that that is a public revelation of this is who we now are in him. And it's a new life. And then along with the baptism that takes place, the empowerment of the Spirit of God in you that gives you the power now to live a new life. So, for example, before I had the power of the Spirit of God, I had nothing in me that would be able to keep me from falling to the ways of the world. But once I have that power of God that's at work in me, now I have the ability to choose. Now I have the ability to make a choice and go with it. And when God quickens me, he also gives me the power to do it. So, like if I'm in a situation and something's brought to me, I can make a choice as the Spirit of God leads me to, and I have power to walk that out. People that are in the world that are locked into sin, they have no choice because they have no power. They can try to make decisions, they can try to do something of their free will, but the problem is that they don't have a power greater within them than what's in the world, so they're slaves to the world and the world system. They're slaves to do that bidding. So you see people like that, and basically you see people that are slaves. So they would like to have what you have, but they're not willing to take the one step necessary to have what you have. So they want it some other way except willing to bow their knees before the King of Kings. You can't do it for somebody else. So, I can't do it for someone else. So, but they don't have the power necessary. So when it comes down to making choice, making decision, being a changed person, doing anything differently, they're slaves. So even when they would attack you, even when they would cheat you, even when they would defraud you, even when they do the things that they do it in part because that's their program. They do it in part because that's part of the spirits that have open access to their lives. Those things use them like meat puppets to carry out the will of the demonic side, which is basically to attack the people of God, because that's where the war is. The war is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Now, the kingdom of God trumps the world at any given time, but God does allow the world to attack and to test his people. But so they kind of carry out their role and their assignment in this whole thing as well. So we're in the middle of this amazing clash with light and dark, and we're working out our own salvation in fear and trembling, and we're going through seasons and progressions and changes, and spiritually we understand more as light is growing in us, and you continue to walk on this way. So it is life. It is a true life when somebody's willing to walk with Christ. But very few people are willing to embrace the reality of that, because the requirement is that you take up the cross and follow him. You die to this world. And so many people, what they want is they want life in this world. And they want something to work out in the world. Even their willingness to have anything to do with what they call Jesus, which is a new Jesus they make for themselves, that's fashioned in their own image, it's because they want the world. And they would, if they can get that other Jesus to give them success in the world, they will pray to him, they will do, but they don't want the real thing, that big T, that big truth, and the thing that calls for the lordship of God in your life, where you would surrender completely to him. Okay, so some things that you know, we talked about as far as like, how now do we live? Well, one was in connection. Now the connection begins with when we bow our knee to the King, and when we ultimately see your will, you get to make choice and you get to make decision. And when you and I, when we stop and we say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Ultimately, when we ask for the rule and the reign of Christ Jesus in us, and we're willing to step off of the throne of our own lives, our own fiefdom, and we're willing to give up that control. And so I get out of the driver's seat and I move over to the passenger side and I ask Jesus, would you please drive the car? And I'll go wherever you take me. I'll do whatever it is that you tell me to do. But you take control of this whole thing. And when you ask him for that, when you seek that, he does that. And the connection that we live is one of alignment, where he, as you have that initial establishment of that connection, then he begins to perpetually bring into alignment every area of your life with his will. So he does that with your mind. So like, you have certain ways that you thought. You have certain ways you thought about yourself. You had certain ways you thought about others. You had certain ways you thought about what life should be. You had certain ways you see what I'm saying? Like, all those different areas, he will begin to work with your mind. So as you read the word, as you spend time in prayer, he then begins to show you, whoa, wait a second, I am God's treasured possession, not a piece of junk. I have immeasurable, eternal value. I'm not something to be bought and sold. So it's like you start to see yourself through his eyes, and then you start to see your value in his eyes. Then you start to see, wait a second, the way I should relate to other people. I shouldn't hold bitterness and anger and resentment against people, because he doesn't hold that against me, and he has a right to hold that against me. So if he's forgiven me, I should forgive other people, because, and then he gives me the power to do that. But I do have to deal with that issue before Him. So I have to bring it up. I have to bring it before Him. I have to ask the Spirit of God to work on that thing in me, because He's the one, He's the only one that can do it. See, that's the thing. Everything that He asks us to do is something that you couldn't do in yourself. You need Him to quicken you. You need Him to empower you. So it's like He shows you, and then you realize, gosh, I can't do it by myself. Lord, here, You do it through me. I'm game. You just make the way. And He does it. And then after a while, there comes this fusion, this consummation between His Spirit and who you are, where it becomes this fusion. So it's like you start to become just a reflection of Him in the way that you think, in the way that you are in this life. So it's like it's this transitional process that takes place. There are some major hurdles that you do jump along the way, but it's a continual growth process that He takes us through, but you're still on this thing with Him. Now He brings you into alignment with your mind. He brings you into alignment with your flesh. He does this with your physical body as well, where it's like when somebody is walking with Him, He will quicken that person in areas, because your body now becomes the temple of the Spirit of God. So when your body becomes the temple of the Spirit of God, it's like just like you say, you in your own home, in your own life, you have your natural home. Well, you don't, in your natural home, you don't leave 50 beer bottles in the front room just sitting there. You know, you don't bless you. You don't trash out the backyard and just leave it like that. If you are living there and you want your home to be a place where you enjoy inhabiting and spending time and other people to come over, you begin to put order and make that home a place that bless you. Make that home an environment that you would want to stay in. So what God does is when He's welcome into a person's life, He begins to work on that person as well in those areas. And so then that person, even in their flesh, even in their physical body, He begins to quicken them, and here's the way to even have your body as something that, and a place that I enjoy dwelling in. It becomes an environment that and we seek that, we want that, because too, it's like, I mean, you think about it, like when your energy is low, or when you're caught up in certain habits or whatever, how that even affects your connection and your thoughts and all of that. I mean, like if you feel physically lethargic, how does that then affect your mind? How does that then affect your thinking? How does that affect your... Because everything's interconnected. So God begins to bring different pieces into alignment, even in your physical body. And this is something that He does by His Spirit. And what's cool is that you will see when a person is yielding to God in every area of their life, in their mind, in their spirit, in their flesh, how, as those things are brought into alignment, there is a free flow of the Spirit of God through every aspect of who they are. The Spirit of God literally quickens their mortal bodies. And in that process too, you will see just a shine, a glow of the Spirit of God through that person that happens. And the world recognizes it, the people of God recognize it, everybody sees it on the dimension of spirit, spirits recognize it, angelic forces see that, everything sees that. But it's just because what's happening, that person within is aligned with the Spirit of God, and it's just God's just shining through that person. So it makes that person a target, but it also makes that person more and more what God intended them to be right here and right now. So, but we live our life in that connection, and in that connection, it's a connection that continues to, it's like the seed being planted in the ground. Okay, the seed's planted in the ground, but it takes root in that place, and then it's growing and germinates, and then it sprouts forward, and as it's sprouting, it's growing and growing and getting stronger and bearing fruit. It's all happening from that connection with the ground and with that place where it draws the source of its life from the sun. All of those things are there. So likewise, God's doing the same thing with us. Okay, so John 17. And this is probably for me one of the most wonderful of scriptures. And this is life eternal, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So now that's eternal life, is to know him. And to know, and to walk and know Jesus. So for us, when we know him, and any relationship, if you are remaining in connection, it grows. You know more about that person knows more about you. There comes a point where, think about, like, for example, for you, your sister. Like, there's a lot of things you know about your sister where you don't have to say anything. You just know. You know how she would respond. You know what she would order in a restaurant. You know what she would think about certain things. Because you know her. That happened over time. That didn't happen, you know, on the first day that you guys both lived in the same house. So, but it's an individual walk. And see, this is again too, no one can do this on a group level. People can't do this. It comes down to the individual heart. And this is again too where religions of the world don't want people to have this. Because if you have this, you then no longer need that religion. If you have and you walk in a boldness in the connection that you have with Christ, then you now don't need the approval or the... It's a vetting process that they have. If the way that they work is they will say, okay, you need to do this, 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 and this, and then you're okay by the standard that we've put in place, and we've had this standard here for 300 years, so who do you think you are to argue? But rather, it's you know your Creator, and then when somebody tries to put some form of religious bondage on you, like, no, I know the one I serve. So likewise, if someone was to come up to you and say, your sister likes blue, and you'd be like, no, I know she likes red, because you've known her. You know what she's about. You know what she says. You know what her favorite colors are. So it's when you actually know him for yourself, you can't be tricked. You can't be deceived. So that's why they work so hard to keep people from knowing him, and rather to have people know something about a distant God that's always over there. So he's always something that you, it's to know him is unattainable, to speak to him is something that you can't do. You see the work that such effort goes into that. Now, I think there's something that's hardwired into people's fallen nature which allows for that. You know, which allows for and seeks to have something in the carnal and in the natural be a representation of that. So people kind of, in some ways, their base detached from God personality is one that allows for that default. So, you know, I can see how that happens with a lot of people. It's still not an excuse. Because if a person really wants truth, they will be willing to leave that. But God wants it so that the person wants that more than anything. If the person wants that more than anything, you will find him. But you have to ask for it. You have to seek for it. You have to knock. Asking you shall receive. Seeking you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. So, now ultimately this reality is completely his. I mean, this whole thing is his. So we're in the middle of living this thing out. Now, some other things that are key is, you know, we live this thing, again, on the way to die, we live this thing in connection with Him. We don't get distracted by the externals, because there's a lot of external things that are going on and that will increase more and more and more. So on a micro level and on a macro level. So in your own life, on a micro level, you'll have work and you'll have people coming at you and things that are attacking and things that are... You'll have stuff come from right field. You weren't even expecting it. It's just coming at you. And then, you know, sometimes people deal with issues in their health or issues in the family or... So whatever it is, on those levels, you have things that come at you. Then on a macro level, the things that are happening with world governments and resources and power and the fight for power and politics and economics and all of those things are going to be going on more and more and more and more and more. All those things swirling around you. Now Jesus, when He talked about my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, I don't give as the world gives. He was talking about that at the same time that He's being hounded by a bunch of people that want to kill Him. And He's speaking about peace. The peace that God offers is, as I did a word study on that one time, it's internal serenity in the midst of external turmoil. So what God offers, I'll say it again, internal serenity amidst external turmoil. So what God offers is within, you can have a sea of glass no matter what's going on outside of you. And it's something that you can tap into, and it's a place that you can remain spiritually throughout your life. Now there's certain things that we can do on a natural level to enhance that and to be able to walk that out. So for example, if you have the discipline and take the discipline to structure times where you get away with the Lord, and you make that a priority. When you do that, you now are working towards really, like, this is a priority for me. Just like exercise would be a priority for you. Just like eating a healthy diet would be a priority for you. Just like anything that's a priority, you make that a priority. And as you're making that a priority, it's he sees that. God appreciates that. He's always there. He'll meet you in that. And even in that, so say somebody goes to pray and all of a sudden they're like, gosh, I'm having trouble hearing His voice. Well, then you ask Him, Lord, what's going on? And then He may show you, wait, you know, you have unforgiveness in your life against this person. And then He shows you that, and then you can deal with that before Him. You're like, Lord, okay, I'm sorry, I see that now. Please forgive me. I forgive that person. Please forgive me and help me even forgive myself for what, you know, but you clean all of that up before Him. And now you're brought back into alignment. You're brought back into a place of spirit connection where the Spirit of God can flow into your life and through your life into the world that you're in and the world that you're around. But that doesn't happen if you're just so busy with the external life and the cares of this world where you have no place, no time, no way to even sit at His feet. You see what I'm saying? So it's like you have to make that a priority. It has. I mean, like for me personally, you know, I have this longing to get away with Him. You know, I really do. I'd love just... But it's like, I know that's always under attack too. It's always something that is constantly, like, everything's trying to draw me away from that. And frankly, none of the people in the world, they could care less whether I spent time praying or not. What they want is their report, or what they want is their budgets, or an okay on this thing, or some whatever it is. It's their agenda, their thing. That's what they want. But they don't. And in fact, the enemy would love it if you don't pray. He wants to keep you weak. He wants to keep you anemic. He wants you to keep you from accessing the weapons that you have at your disposal to dismantle anything the world has. So he's trying to keep you from that. So that's why too, you look at Jesus, I mean, Jesus would go out in the middle of the night to pray. He'd go up on the side of the mountain in the early hours of the morning. I mean, he would find ways to get away with the Father. You know, and likewise, he did that in part to show us that, you know, we too can do that. We too should be doing that. It should be a pursuit. So, we're committed to him in this, and he's committed to us in this. See, God promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. In fact, here, let's just look at that one real quick. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Where he said, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Okay. So, Jesus is with us, and we're with him. Now the thing is too, is he says go into all the, so he's also telling them, an instruction being, I want you to go this way, I want you to do these things. And in him instructing people to go that way and do those things, in that process, they are, in following the voice of the Spirit of God, they're also, each step that they take in accordance with the last instruction he gave them, they continue to hear. But when somebody stops and they get off on their own thing, you know, this promise to be with you to the very end of the age and the end of the world is to those that go. It's to those that walk with him. So sometimes when people are like, oh gosh, you know, I don't feel like I'm not hearing the voice of God. Well, what was the last thing that you heard? You know, the last time that you heard him speak, when was that? Was it when you were 16 and he was telling you, I want you to go to Africa? You see what I'm saying? It's like, and if it's that person, you know, God petitioned them, he was quickening them, he said, and then they chose not to, and then it just kind of got quiet. And they went off on their own thing. And they went and got married, had a family, took a good job, raised some kids, did all of these things, did their religious service, went to church, paid their tithes, their guilt tax, all these different things that they would do, but in the end they're just like, something's missing. They know something's missing. Well, why? Because God called them into an abundant life and they chose something that was less than that. So God intends that people have abundant life, but it comes on his terms. And it may be that you become obscure and go off in the middle of nowhere for the next 50 years. Okay, that's fine, but he's with you in that. But if you choose to ignore the voice of the Spirit of God, then you're left in a place where he moved on from. So he's moved on, but that person is still there, and then that person stuck there is left with themselves. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, and he moved on. The people that stayed to bury the dead, they missed what he's gone. So they're stuck there being dead themselves, burying other dead people. And they're just waiting to die themselves in the natural death. They're already dead spiritually because Christ came and missed the chance and then he moved on. So there is promise, but it comes on his terms. So for all of us that walk with him, one of the things is that we, when he speaks, we do. Now, one thing that it's important to do is to focus your heart and ask God for clarity in understanding when he's speaking. Because you want to know, you want that certainty so that you know that you know that you know that this is God speaking and instructing you in something. And all you need is that for this moment right now. Don't worry about the next 50 years. Just right now, what is God saying to your heart? What is he instructing you right now? What does he have for you right now? That's the thing. And if you're willing to open yourself up for life being even on that level, something so simple. Think about it. When God said too, when Jesus said that unless you become like a child, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Think, what's the nature of a child? You know, a child is trusting. A child their child's not thinking about their retirement fund. You know, a child is right now in this moment, Father, you know, what are we doing right now? I'm game. Anything that you want to do, I'm up. And they trust their father. They trust their parents. So we enter in that way. We trust them like that. The world doesn't. The world is always looking for an angle. There is no angle. Everything's laid bare before the light. Okay. Some things that kind of get burned off. Mark chapter 10 verse 24. Like, we're not attached to the world or material possessions. You know, these are things that kind of go as we walk with Him. The things of the world grow strangely dim. You may have, you may not have. Doesn't matter. Whatever you have, you've consecrated it over to God anyways, to do with as He pleases. And, you know, you can... Yeah, you live detached from the things of this world. Now, the world, the people of the world are scrambling because, you know, actually, too, their life is material things. And their life is based on what they can touch, see, feel, everything based on the five senses. So we, consequently, though, we live in a spiritual reality. And so when it comes to the things of the world, it's like, well, you know, we just exercise good stewardship and they're tools, but we're not hooked into them. So if stuff goes, it goes. If it comes, it comes. It's great. Whatever. But it's His. And there's people that say it like that, but then there's people that actually live like that. And when you live like that, that's a place of freedom. Now, we also live as those who've been set free. Okay, and we talked a little bit on Sunday about those that live from within, in, you know, the journey within. And then we also live in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit and in the power of God. There's some scriptures with those in Romans 14, verse 17, and 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. So to live a holy and unshackled life. See, there's things that bind people. And what happens with the power of the Spirit of God is He gives the power to be able to break those shackles, so that when you live your life in the world in connection with the Spirit of God, you live unhindered, unshackled. Now, the world will see you unshackled, and it goes crazy when it sees a person that's unshackled and walking with God. They want to keep hooking you back in. So they will offer you things, they'll throw carrots out there, they will try to force you in, they will do whatever they can, but you have to make that resolute decision that I only bow my knee to one master, which is the Spirit of Christ Jesus. I only walk with the Father. I won't bow to the world or the world system. If I do any work, it's what He gives me to do and not what they would have to assign me to do and ask me to do and be a good boy and build a system. No, I'm not part of that system anymore. If I do anything in the world, it's because the Spirit of God quickens me and He creates the opportunity. Because actually, you know, something that's interesting too. I was even talking with my dad about this recently. If the world could have its way, it would completely cut off everything and anything and starve you to death tomorrow. It would, if you're a child of God. It doesn't want you. Doesn't want you to be around. And the only way that it would have anything to do with you is if it can put you in a situation where it can try to suck you dry of your life and of your power, of anything that's in you, but it in and of itself hates you and it wants to destroy you. So for us, you know, realizing that we accept that ostracization, We accept the fact that we're ostracized by the world. We're pushed off to the side. We accept that. We allow for that. It's not a surprise. So when we're treated like that by the world, see, this is why too, when you have kingdom people, know this, they are the most talented. They are the best. If you have a kingdom person in their particular field, their particular profession, they are most likely the most talented in that area, whatever it is. If it's art, they are the most talented. If it's creativity on something, they are the most talented. If it's ideas, if it's concepts, if it's solutions, they're the most talented, they're the best. If it's photography, if it's painting, if it's music, kingdom people, true kingdom of God people, those that walk with the Spirit of God, in any area they will have the most talent flowing out of them and through them of anybody that's in that place. Compare them to a worlder any day. But because of their spiritual allegiance, because of what they are, the world won't give them a fair shake. They will be passed over for someone of lesser quality, lesser ability, but that is part of the world system, and they'll take that one. And the only way that they will try to take from the kingdom person is if they can use that person, if they can steal what that person's ideas are, if they can steal that person's talent, if they can steal that person's work, if they can do that to that person, that's when they'll have something to do with that person. But we realize that. We realize that that's the dynamic that we're in. And you know, many times too, because there's need, we give a lot of things away. But it does require some wisdom, because it's like there are things that God intended for you, for your survival here in this world. He gifts that He put in you, things that like that, that He would have to use on your behalf. But it requires some wisdom that comes from Him as well, coupled with those gifts. This is again why it's important to spend time before Him. This is why it's important again to spend time in His presence. Because when you do that, He melds those things together. And then you understand, oh, okay, I got it. I shouldn't go this way. I shouldn't be involved with these people. Like, for example, there's a lot of reasons why when Scripture says don't be unequally yoked with a non-believer, it's not just referencing to marriage or relationships, but it's also in relationship to anything that you would do of any significance in this life. If you are unequally yoked with people that don't walk with Him, the byproduct of that is, give it enough time and those people will take advantage of that situation and do what they can to destroy you, even if they're family. Because if they're part of a different kingdom, they're not part of your spiritual family. And ultimately, the level of spirit is stronger than the level of flesh. So people will default to their spiritual family over their flesh family, because spirit is more real than flesh. Ultimately, spirit lasts and flesh passes away. So realize that that's there, and you take caution. This is why, too, it's okay if we don't have certain opportunities. We also understand the promises in Scripture. This is why God gave us a Matthew 6, so that we would know, look, don't worry about tomorrow. God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the grass of the fields. He takes care of all of these things. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of me. We understand that. Okay. Now, there's some other things that we do. As God is bringing you into alignment, we also work to discipline our mind, our body, and our spirit, so that we understand what we're in the middle of. Now, we have a part to play in this whole thing. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. Some of it does. Some of it does happen just by being in relationship with Him. Like, for example, if you just spend time around somebody, Scriptures talk about how in Proverbs, bad company corrupts good character. It also says, walk with the wise and you'll be wise yourself. So the company that you keep will rub off on you. If you hang out with the wrong crowd, you will take on their nature, you will start talking like them, you'll pick up their habits. If you hang out with the Spirit of God, you will pick up the very nature of God. Now, if you pick up the nature of God, and then the Father himself sends you into a situation like that as a light for him, that's a different thing. But if your heart is set on the world, and then you go and you now put yourself in that situation, it's all going to rub off on you, and then you just need one big, massive shower, you know, and he's just got to clean the person up and do what he's got to with that person. Entrez, s'il vous plaît.
Is it possible to, once you're done,
yeah,
there's no fear today?
Oh, okay.
If you could lock everything up, lock the air conditions,
yeah,
and lock the main door.
Can we have maybe, we'll be out of here maybe 10 minutes?
10 minutes, okay. No, there won't be. If you can just lock it and just give the key next door.
Oh, in Nirmala's place.
Yeah, Nirmala's or even like number 11.
Your number 11.
Yes.
Okay, so just shut this one off and then.
Yeah, shut the AC or whatever lights that are in there, just stop the
door. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Hi.
Okay. Keys.
Keys. No, wait. Need the keys.
Sorry?
Do you have the keys?
The keys.
Which keys?
On
the keys are downstairs. I don't have any keys.
You don't have any keys?
No.
But should pull up. Okay.
Tough to lock it if they don't have keys. Okay. You win?
No.
Oh, okay. So, disciplining mind, body, spirit. Understanding what you're in the middle of. Alright, it takes dedication, commitment, and courage. And that is something that the... it's decisions that we make. The Spirit of God quickens us to that. But we... It is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that anyone can do on their own, but we make a decision to go that way. Okay. Also, too, part of this whole thing is realizing that the stage that you're on and the stage that you're in is... It's... we're not going to fix everything here. And it's not our job to fix everything here. The whole environment that we're in is designed to actually either enforce a person's delusion when they choose to go the way of the world and take them on that path of destruction, the broad road to destruction, if that's their choice, or the very same thing will work to enhance and to chip away at a person that has chosen to walk with Christ till the only thing that remains is his life and theirs. But the stage is like that because it's not. We're not supposed to fix it. We do certain things that do make things better and do reveal the heart of God and all of that. But like Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. You know, I mean, when Jesus left the world, there was a lot of sick people that were still running around. And in fact, the problem is because the heart of man at large has chosen the world and the ways of the world and the system of the world that robs, steals, kills, and destroys, and that's not going away until Christ shuts the whole thing down, because that's there, you're going to have a lot of problems. So it's not going to be us fixing everything. What we do is we do the will of the Father. If it happens to fix something, great. Other times, you know what? It just may be Him working on you. Or other times you may fix a massive amount of things. But that's not the focus. The focus is walking in step with Him. That's the most important. Okay, another thing too is we diminish the goals, desires, urges, hopes, dreams, expectations of life into their proper place and order. So when we walk with the Spirit of God, there's things that you do have. God put them in you. He put desires in us. He put certain goals in us. He put certain hopes, certain dreams, those things there. But we bring those all under the Lordship of Christ Jesus. So you may have a hope for something, but you submit that underneath the will of the Father. And so if you had to make a choice, you'd pick His will over that, on everything. And if you choose that, that's the victory that's there. And the place where so many people get stuck is they don't have that, or they have one thing they won't let go of, and that becomes their snag. And ultimately, if somebody wants to walk with Christ, they have to. All of it has to go there. Which, again, that's part of the cross. That's part of that death to self. And he brings a person to that, but the person has to choose that as well. They have to be willing to take that. Okay. But see, without that decision, whatever it is, that thing or things, those become the idol. And what will happen is God will become a means to try to fulfill that idol, and that's what they serve rather than truth, rather than Him. And so most people are caught up in that. So Second Timothy chapter 2, and I think we're going to finish up soon. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." Okay, consider what I say. The Lord will give thee understanding in all things. So he talks about, and just this encouragement to Timothy, who's taking on a charge in responsibility within the body of Christ in that area. He's saying, look, we endure hardship as a good soldier. So we are in the middle of a spiritual war. And as any soldier, you have to prepare yourself. You have to do certain things. You'll be trained, and as you're trained, then you get sent into battle. And so it's a fight that we're in. But we prepare ourselves. As we prepare ourselves, God quickens us. Because then we all have different assignments. Just like in any army, not everybody's on the front lines shooting a gun. You know, you've got people that are support, you have people that are intel and logistics, you have cooks, you have people that are shipping, you have people that are building bridges and providing medical aid. I mean, you've got people doing all kinds of functions for an army to work effectively. Likewise, but they're all enduring in the middle of this whole thing that they're fighting. So likewise, we have different functions within the body of Christ as well. But whatever the case may be, we are ready for the assignment that God gives us. And another thing too is there's also what happens is when a person taps into that path of life, and the life that the kingdom has, is that he also restores our natural relationships the way that they should be, the way that God intended for them to be. So the way that a man relates to a woman, the way that a woman relates to a man, the way that a family relates to their children, the way that children relate to their parents, the way that the grandchildren relate to their grandparents, the way that friends relate to friends. All of those relationships are put back in the right line and in the right order. And if you look at something that the world does very hard, is it works to distort the closest relationships to you, to twist those to be something that they're not. And in the end, part of that is to then get you isolated in its own way and then hooked into the system, with all of those things being distorted and a mess. And people looking for a lie that will never be fulfilled. So God, what He does is that when He quickens someone, like for example men, a big part of it is restoring their understanding of even their roles and responsibilities. Ephesians 5, 1 through 33, their roles as protectors in the family, Zechariah 12, 8, Luke 4, 10, providers, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. I mean, like, ultimately, God is the ultimate example. And Christ Jesus being the ultimate example. And then God building that into a man. And then, likewise, the role of a woman is something that comes from Him as well. He shows that, He reveals that. And it's something that He restores, but it requires that person walking that out with Him. And when people buy into a part of the world, and even the way that they relate to how God has designed them and made them, it ultimately leads to a lack of fulfillment, a lack of abundant life, and poor substitutes in whatever those areas are. So God ultimately intends that we have the abundant life that He promised in John 10:10. But that happens on His terms. It's all part and parcel of living as kingdom people. So, we will stop there for tonight. Time is up.